Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we're looking into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Inside the GOP, a report on focus groups with evangelical Tea Party and moderate Republicans, which finds that you cannot understand the government shutdown unless you understand what is going on inside the GOP. An author of the report, Stanley Greenberg, the former pollster too, but President Bill Clinton, joins us to explain the contradiction that some polls indicate the Republicans are hurting themselves to the point they may lose the House in 2014, while Senators Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell were overheard saying, "We're going to win this thing." Then we'll examine the economic illiteracy underlying the Tea Party base of the GOP, who feel it is necessary to take drastic steps to shut down the government in order to get our fiscal house in order, even though the deficit they cite as the reason is going down at record speed. Michael Lind, the policy director of the New America Foundation's Economic Growth Program and author of Land of Promise, An Economic History of the United States, joins us to discuss his latest article at Salon.com, Tea Party Radicalism is Misunderstood, Meet the Newest Right. Then finally, we will speak with Danny Postel about his article at the Huffington Post, Mission Accomplished, Syria, the Anti-War Movement, and the Spirit of Internationalism. He co-edited the new book, The Syria Dilemma, and we will discuss his critique that the peace movement is celebrating victory over stopping the bombing of Syria while remaining silent over the continuing killing of over 100,000 civilians and the displacement of one-third of Syria's population. And joining us now is Stanley Greenberg, who was a pollster to President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore, British Prime Minister Tony Blair, South African President Nelson Mandela, and more. He is co-founder with James Carville of Democracy Corps and the chairman and CEO of Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research. He is the co-author with James Carville of It's the Middle Class Stupid, and the author of a new report available at democracycorps.com, Inside the GOP, Report on Focus Groups with Evangelical Tea Party and Moderate Republicans. Welcome to Background Briefing, Stanley Greenberg.
Thank you. Thank you. Delighted to be here. Good morning.
California. And good afternoon to you, Stan.
Yes, indeed.
So let's deal with the contradiction that some polls, public polling, PPP, have saying that the Republicans are hurting themselves to the point that they may lose the House in 2014, and yet Senators Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell were overheard saying, "We're going to win this thing." So who's right?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't think anybody with a straight face thinks the Republicans are winning this one. And you could see it in the divisions that are, this is mostly a debate amongst Republicans, and that disunity is a very good read to the country on where things are. I've been through these battles, you know, before, and when you're divided, you know it, and the country feels it. And so, you know, I have no doubt, there's polling data that's quite clear by about 10 points. People see them as more responsible, and overwhelmingly, people don't want their strategy, which is try to defund Affordable Health Care Act via government shutdown or by default. So this is about internal Republican politics. That's what our report was about, which was why it is they're doing this, and why it makes sense politically for them, but does not make sense for them in the bigger sense of can they hold on to power.
But in the broader sense, I find it pretty extraordinary that a small minority on the right is dominating, if not capturing or paralyzing, the entire ship of state. There's virtually nothing happening on the left. And in the center, where most Americans are, apparently, and where the press tends to be, it's he said, she said, it's, either or, pro and con balance, etc. At this point, those that call for bipartisanship and believe in bipartisanship are living in a fool's paradise. I mean, the center is irrelevant at this point. The left is non-existent, and the right is dominating.
Well, sure, they're dominating in the sense, except that Obamacare, the full access to health care for all Americans is about to be implemented. If you want to know what this world looks like to Republicans, and why they're doing what they're doing, what they think that they've lost, that the Obama has succeeded in passing his socialist agenda. He did that because Republicans were too weak. And so the great majority of Republicans people at the core of the Republican Party are either evangelical or Tea Party, evangelical even stronger than Tea Party, believe their worldview is losing. They're losing culturally, they're losing economically, they're losing on spending, they're losing on what they see as the extension of the welfare state, massive growth of the welfare state, on their watch while they were, you know, had the chance to stop it. And this is kind of the last shot to try to stop it. And so I wouldn't, you know, I don't come away from this saying that the right, by, you know, holding the country hostage, has won the agenda or has won the, you know, won the battle. I think that they are, they've thrown their body across this, but they can't win. You know, that is, there is no chance that they can win on the big issue of the Affordable Care Act. And that's, in terms of looking forward, what we're looking at is a government shutdown done precisely to stop health care. I mean, it would be like when Social Security was passed or when Medicare was passed. The opponents had waged that kind of struggle, and it would have been generations. And there was post Social Security, you did have decades and decades of Democratic dominance. This could be a similar moment. California may be the future, may be the key to the future.
Well, I've wondered why it is that the Democrats have not turned the rhetoric from the right around on the Tea Party, and who say that the sky is falling. If Obamacare goes ahead, it's going to be a complete catastrophe. It'll be a train wreck. The obvious argument to counter that is, okay, well then, if that's the case, let Obamacare go ahead. It'll be the train wreck and the mess that you predict it will be, and you guys are going to look like heroes. It's pretty obvious that
There's no doubt what their fear is.
Exactly.
You know, read, you know, how they have organized to try to defund, you know, read, you know, what, you know, and listen to what Cruz, you know, what Ted Cruz has said. There is no doubt that their fear is not that it's going to fail, but that it's going to succeed. You know, they come to this with an analysis that, you know, Obama has put people on unemployment compensation, unemployment insurance. He's put people on food stamps. He's about to bring on, you know, 12 million people, illegals being made legal and therefore dependent on him and the Democratic Party and government. And now we're going to have a great expansion of the welfare state via the Affordable Care Act. Their analysis has nothing to do with whether this succeeds or fails. In fact, it's precisely the fact that they think it's going to create dependency, that they are so fearful that it's going to change the political balance. So that's their fear. They're trying to stop it from happening.
And Stanley Greenberg, again, the author of the new report available at democracycorps.com, Inside the GOP, report on focus groups with evangelical, Tea Party, and moderate Republicans. And the focus groups of those constituents that you have looked into, the Tea Party and the evangelicals, dominate the Republican Party. More than half of the party are Tea Party and evangelicals, and moderates only make up a quarter of the party. So in terms, though, of giving the right ammunition, why is it that there is so little trust or little enthusiasm for Obamacare, even though those that apparently participate in it are finding it a blessing? It obviously has not been well sold, and the best way one would think to undercut the arguments on the right would be, first of all, if they believe that the sky is falling because of the deficits and that they're willing to put the country through this trauma in order to wake us up to the looming deficit, isn't the out-of-control medical costs the biggest driver of the deficit and inflation?
For sure it is. And if it may have already contributed to those being moderated, and it could produce, you know, radical changes, you know, over time. And there's certainly lots of evidence that the competition on the exchanges is producing much lower premiums than anyone expected. But you go back to your main point. There's been a colossal failure of public education on healthcare from the beginning, during the whole battle and the aftermath. If you watched what happened with the introduction of the prescription drug benefit, it was massive national advertising, both by the public sector and private sector, you know, educating people to what the benefits were coming. You listen to the navigators and those people trying to introduce people to this coverage in various states where Republicans are trying to stop it. They have no air cover. You know, they're trying to educate without any real effective education. The president has not been, you know, very successful, you know, on this. And I think the core problem was trying, in some sense, to undersell it. You know, and trying to pass it. And I, by the way, I can't fault them because they passed it. No one else has been able to pass universal health care. And so I have to step back and say, look, whatever they did, it's fine. And up to passage, that might be true. Because what you were saying was, look, this isn't going to affect you. 85% of Americans aren't going to be affected. If you have Medicare, no problem. If you have insurance, it's not going to, you know, you keep your insurance. The main message was status quo, minor change. Well, this is big change. This is transformational change. Insurance companies have to be insurance companies. They can no longer, you know, only try to insure the well. It's a gigantic, it's a massive transformational change. You can no longer gender rate. There's an entire change of how women can get insurance and health care in America as a consequence of this law. This is transformational. It's never, that case has never been made.
Well,
and so it's going to have to be made after the fact, and, you know, it's never too late. I mean, I think, you know, what matters here is what happens in the rollout, the real stuff. I mean, it's breathtaking. You know, some of the individual cases that we're already watching, you know, I think it's just going to become cumulative as people, as we've had such a you know, irrational system and irrational costs, that there's going to be, you know, some, you know, sorting that out, and I think in a much more just outcome.
But this phobia and mania and fear of government has reached hysterical proportions, and I don't understand why it is that there are nobody on the other side defending. I mean, for example, in the last election, Mitt Romney, who, by the way, you know, was the one who articulated in that speech that was captured. Mm-hmm. Surreptitiously, this whole idea that the Democrats are really about bribing people with goodies, you know, that is what you've suggested from your polling and research with these focus groups, on, right. that's mm-hmm. what the Evangelical Tea Party people feel. But it would seem that Romney said that he was a severe conservative. He was trying to find another way to be a proud conservative, which you hear all the time on the right. The mantra is constant, I'm a proud conservative. They mm-hmm. wear it on their sleeve. I don't see Democrats saying I'm a proud liberal. I don't see them defending government. I mean, the current situation, or the situation that this healthcare law is changing, is free market gone amok in terms mm-hmm. of insurance companies. And everybody has a horror story. The ammunition's on the other side. But, you know, if we're going to live in Koch Brothers America, you can make a really strong case that the private sector and corporate America are not going to rescue you. You know, you need something on your mm-hmm. in your corner.
Yep. Look, I think, first of all, I think you're right. I mean, we have to be much more, by we, I assume we mean progressives and Democrats and liberals, have to be, I think, much more explicit about the role of the public sector of government and the, you know, the role of what it means to be in it together. I mean, and when Republicans talk about, and it's really outrageous, when they say to people, to young people, don't take out health insurance. You know, you're healthy, you know, just let the rest of the system take care of you. It is like a rabid individualism that is just appalling, the level of irresponsibility and lack of regard for the public as a whole. The whole argument about insurance, you know, is that when you're in it together, you achieve a much more rational outcome, that all people are better off. We need to be much more explicit about it. And, I mean, also we need to keep in mind the country thought that the banks were saved under the Democratic watch, even though we know TARP started under Bush. They saw what happened with bank bonuses, you know, under Obama. They saw that he fought to do TARP, you know, and also the auto bailout early on, which was not popular. And it was believed that Democrats were part of that worldview, you know, bailing out those people that were irresponsible. And going into the elections, you know, the re-election, you know, more people thought Obama represented, you know, Wall Street than Main Street. And so Wall Street doesn't think that. You know, we Democrats are a long way away from them being in a position to reform, you know, to use government, because government seems corrupted by special interests, even on health care. The country watched away was enacted and say, isn't this like the same special interests, you know, the stakeholders in the healthcare system, you know, now going to, you know, agreeing to these reforms? How can it be real reform? So the country is right to be skeptical that this government could create a healthcare, you know, reform that would actually be for average people. And the issue, I believe it will be. I believe it will be dramatic, but they're going to wait and see to make sure that's true.
So is there, having Stanley Greenberg, having studied through these focus groups, the Evangelical Tea Party and moderate components of the current Republican Party, over half of which is dominated by evangelicals and Tea Party, and a quarter by the moderates. By the way, what's the other, 10-12%?
Oh, it's cats and dogs that we haven't been able to. There's actually a pretty big block of not evangelicals, but of, you know, highly observant. A fair number of them are Catholics, observant, religiously observant, who act like evangelicals in their attitudes. So we have the moderates that are a quarter, and that's the challenge. The block is just not big enough, mm-hmm. To drive the process of change and reform within the Republican Party. If you look at what happened to the Democrats, I worked for Bill Clinton, but Bill Clinton's victory in 92 came after a number of years of internal primaries. If you go back to 84, Gary Hart took, half the vote. I mean, the independents, the reformers, we're taking half the vote amongst Democrats, and they are nowhere close to having that kind of internal force. So they have to change that equation. Though, it's to me, it's more likely they're going to end up like California, where the moderate Republicans became more and more marginal within that party. And even though they saw the specter of defeat, a much more diverse state, a much more pro-environment state, pro-choice state, and nonetheless became an anti-immigrant party, anti-environment, climate change party, and a pro-life party, and are not electable.
Right, but they managed, the Republicans have gerrymandered the House districts, but the way that the Republican minority in California, effectively the minorities ruled here for the longest time with Republican governors, they've ruled because of supermajorities which come out of the Jim Crow South.
Yeah, no. There's no doubt they created rules to hold on to stop the emerging majority from governing, but it's now broken.
Sure,
the dam's broken. It took decades.
Right.
To build up the capacity to govern, and we're now seeing the light in California, but this is more complicated nationally because you have 27 states where the Republicans had complete control, coming out of the last election, that's going to be eroded in this year and in 2014. But it's still, there are a lot of states where the base of the party, combine that with Senate rules that are comparable to what California had, combine that with gerrymandering, and the way and the density of where progressives are located, makes it hard to govern nationally despite our growing majority.
Well, just in closing, Stanley Greenberg, just touching on the public policy poll that says that the Democrats could win the 17 seats they need to switch to control the House, and they're all basically northeastern Republicans with a couple of Californians in there. And so when when so many people talk about the Republican Party as being racist and a Southern party, What about this constituency, the moderate republic, even if it's an endangered species, there are people that do have goodwill. They may not they don't hate the poor like a lot of them do. They just believe that there are deserving poor and undeserving poor. So is there a way to reach these people as opposed to trying to knock them off to win the House majority?
Well, evidence that I'm not sure about the moderate members, I'm talking about the moderate voters, who identify as Republican, particularly the women. Mm-hmm. They are splitting their ticket more, and they're beginning to erode, which makes the problem of the Republican Party even worse if the moderates are becoming, thinking that there's less a place for them, in the party. I think what needs to happen is they need to have a shock in 2014 because they think they are safe and unaccountable. They need to have a landslide defeat in 2016. And I think with them nominating one of their own, Cruz or Rand Paul to be the nominee. But I think they have to nominate one of their own. But they have to they have to pay a big price before they're going to be moved. And that, you know, hopefully that will start in 2014 as people watch this mess in Washington.
Well, Stanley Greenberg, I thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate you having me.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Stanley Greenberg, who was a pollster to President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore, British Prime Minister Tony Blair, South African President Nelson Mandela, and more. He is co-founder with James Carville of Democracy Corps and the chairman and CEO of Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research. He is the co-author with James Carville of It's the Middle Class Stupid and the author of a new report available at democracycorps.com, Inside the GOP, report on focus groups with the Evangelical Tea Party and moderate Republicans. We're going to take a brief station break, and we're back talking about the economic illiteracy underlying the Tea Party's base in shutting down the government.
Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?